Labor organizers are on the ground in Prince George's County, where hospital executives are cutting services and cutting jobs. Also, the grassroots movement to get money out of politics and ban corporate personhood results in a Senate hearing this week. But was it enough? Coming up next. And welcome to the Thursday edition of Community Watch and Comment, the on-the-ground edition, where we lift up voices of activists and activism. I'm Esther Avaram, your host, and I want to first thank my brothers in sports, Etan Thomas and Dave Zirin, for the collision. And I thank all of our listeners who became new members or renewed their memberships during our spring fun drive for WPFW, your listener-powered station for jazz and justice in the nation's capital. I meant to tell them that I'm really looking forward to the finals, start of the finals, NBA finals tonight. I'm going to get my popcorn and get ready. Anyway, today, jobs and quality hospital care are on the line in Prince George's County, and the Senate is holding a hearing this week about overturning the hated Citizens United ruling, which declared that money is free speech and allowed the rich to basically buy up our elections. But before we get to all that, first, our headlines. Some of the world's largest websites and rights groups are planning a coordinated day of action today, the first anniversary of Edward Snowden's revelations. The day of action, called Reset the Net, is in opposition to mass online surveillance. The Reset the Net campaign will feature a splash screen offering tips for direct action, like installing NSA-resistant encryption tools to ensure internet privacy. And a bit of breaking news in connection with Reset the Net campaign. NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden sent a letter directly to millions of Americans today, which was distributed by the ACLU. It reads in part, "Today, our most intimate private records are being indiscriminately seized in secret without regard for whether we are actually suspected of wrongdoing. When these capabilities fall into the wrong hands, they can destroy the very freedoms that technology should be nurturing, not extinguishing. Surveillance without regard to the rule of law, or our basic human dignity creates societies that fear free expression and dissent, the very values that make America strong. In the long, dark shadow cast by the security state, a free society cannot thrive." And he signs his letter, Edward Snowden, American. So for more information about the Reset the Net campaign, go to their website, which is resetthenet.org. Sharing a stage with French economist Thomas Piketty in Boston, Senator Elizabeth Warren discussed a range of issues related to economic inequality during a joint interview with the Huffington Post. But she said people should be careful not to separate the far-reaching implications that outsized wealth and power in the U.S. can have on vital planetary issues like climate change. Piketty, author of the groundbreaking and best-selling book Capitalism in the 21st Century, offered his perspective on the rise of global wealth disparity. In direct refutation of the famous Reagan-era ethos of trickle-down economics, Warren added that Piketty's invaluable research presented in his book shows that wealth does not trickle down, it trickles up. She said, quote, "It trickles from everyone else to those who are rich," end quote. Less than 6 months after the start of an aggressive grassroots campaign, the Seattle Council unanimously approved a $15 an hour minimum wage, the highest in the nation. The measure passed by a 9-0 vote and was met with cheers and celebration among workers in the chamber and those who gathered outside. Council member Kashama Savant, who won last fall as a socialist alternative candidate, is credited with helping to galvanize the citywide movement that pushed the council for the increase. The National Security Agency is collecting facial images through its surveillance programs for use in facial recognition technology. Journalists James Risen and Laura Poitras revealed Saturday in the New York Times. Secret documents exposed by NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden reveal that the spy agency views facial recognition as the next frontier of surveillance and uses new software technology to obtain facial images from digital communications, including email, social media, and even text messages. According to the report, the documents from 2011 reveal the agency intercepts millions of images per day, including about 55,000 facial recognition quality images, which translate into tremendous untapped potential. Next, conservation and food safety groups filed a lawsuit against the Environmental Protection Agency for failing to protect endangered species from a new toxic pesticide. The group said that the EPA risks far-reaching harm to both aquatic and terrestrial species by approving the widespread use of this new pesticide in January without input from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife and National Marine Fisheries Services. And finally, the third annual 5 Days for the Cuban Five is underway here in Washington, D.C., a gathering of supporters from all over the United States, Latin America, Canada, and Europe are gathering together to advocate for a change of U.S. policy towards Cuba. One of the key items is finding a humanitarian solution to the case of the Cuban Five. The Five, including Gerardo Hernandez, Ramon Labanino, Antonio Guerrero, Fernando Gonzalez, and Rene Gonzalez, received long prison sentences for defending Cuba from violent attacks which were planned on U.S. soil. Although Rene and Fernando were released after serving their entire sentences, the remaining three are still in U.S. prisons. Please see a schedule of events at the website 5daysforthecuban5.com for details of the events activities. We'll be right back in a minute. Welcome back to the Thursday edition of Community Watch and Comment, the on-the-ground edition. You just heard the duo Dead Prez, who will be appearing here in D.C. tomorrow night in support of the 5 Days for the Cuban Five. In advance, they're scheduled to be here in the WPFW studios today at 5 p.m., I believe, for Live at 5, which will be hosted by Gerald Ball. So you want to stay tuned for that. And we have other items to check out in our Culture and Media Minute. A new book to check out, Collective Courage, A History of African-American Cooperative Economic Thought and Practice. Jessica Gordon-Nemhard chronicles African-American cooperative business ownership and its place in the movements for Black civil rights and economic equality, not since W.E.B. Du Bois's 1907 economic cooperation among Negro Americans has there been a full-length nationwide study of African-American cooperatives. And on the cover of the Atlantic magazine and website, The Case for Reparations by a brother right here from the DMV, Ta-Nehisi Coates. Opening tomorrow in theaters is Gore Vidal, The United States of Amnesia. Vidal has had a profound effect on the worlds of literature, film, politics, historical debate, and culture, the culture wars. And so that's Gore Vidal, United States of Amnesia, opening tomorrow. Well, we can only imagine what Gore Vidal would have to say about some of the issues we'll be discussing today. Quality health care and good jobs, money and politics, corporations described or, you know, designated as people by the U.S. Supreme Court. So to get started with our first segment, you know, there are 1,400 nurses and caregivers in the that have been in negotiations for more than a year with the Dimensions Healthcare System, which operates the Prince George's Hospital Center, Laurel Regional Hospital, and other facilities in Prince George's County. The healthcare workers have rejected a management proposal that they say would bust their union, allow management the ability to cancel their shifts at will, and offer only a little bit more than a 1% wage increase to a staff that has already seen little or no pay raise and has also sacrificed retirement benefits to keep the system open. And the system has had a lot of troubles, and the workers have been right there to try to prop it up and keep it open to serve the community. That whole bargaining process became more intense this week after Dimensions revealed a plan to reduce staff, close the pediatric unit at Prince George's Hospital Center, and eliminate weekend positions held by many veteran nurses at Laurel. Understandably, the plans have caused a great deal of concern among the workers and communities served by the hospital. Joining me this morning to discuss what is happening on the ground at Dimensions is Regina Barnes, a labor organizer, and full disclosure, a colleague at 1199 SEIU, United Healthcare Workers East, where she represents more than, I think, 600, 700 nurses here in the DMV. Welcome to On the Ground, Regina.
Thank you, Esther. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm so glad you could join us because I know you're busy. I respect your time. So tell me, what exactly is happening at Dimensions? The hospital says that they're not laying off 500 nurses, as they kind of stated in a meeting. But the union says that these cuts are planned. So what's the story?
What happened on Monday is we found out that they will be sending letters out to approximately 100 employees, and they are saying that they're going to restructure their positions. So in the instance of about 65 service and maintenance employees, they are going to allow them to possibly bid for a restructured position in the registration office and finances. In other areas where there are nurses affected, they say that they will allow them to apply for open positions, and or they may have bumping rights to get another position in another area of the hospital if they so desire.
So, you know, that raises two issues for me. When you say bumping rights, to me that automatically means that kind of means that if you have seniority, you can bump somebody out of a job with less seniority. That must be creating a lot of anxiety, resentment, fear, and just kind of like the perfect storm of what management would like to have, you know, as it negotiates a contract with workers.
You're absolutely right. Even the nurses themselves don't feel comfortable necessarily having to bump someone else. And then the nurses that are in position are worried about, will I be bumped or will I not be bumped?
Right.
So, yes, it is causing anxiety in the hospitals.
Yeah. And then the positions that you know about, because of the collective bargaining agreement with the hospital, what they have kind of revealed to you is not everything, because there are some positions in the hospitals that aren't covered by the union, so we don't really know what is happening with those positions. Is that right?
You're correct. We've been told that these potential layoffs could affect union and non-union employees.
Right.
So
right.
We're waiting.
Okay. And so how else are the nurses and caregivers being impacted by these changes? I understand that the pediatric unit at Prince George's is going to be totally shut down.
Yes, that is heartbreaking. There are approximately 6 nurses that work in that area and 2 clerical specialists. And they're talking about perhaps having 1 bed on an adult floor, and that room would have to be locked, of course. And that could be troublesome to a new patient, a pediatric patient coming into the hospital. But we're still waiting to get clarity on what's going on. The joy of being part of a union is that we have already begun formulating our questions that we're going to ask them to make sure that they're doing what needs to be done and looking at the global picture. We just want to have a chance to hear what they have to say as to why they're doing what they're doing.
Right.
We have a right to that information.
So they've already said in meetings that pediatric patients would be sent to Baltimore. Or D.C.
Correct.
And I think the only pediatric beds that will be remaining in the county are in Southern Maryland. But in terms of the inner suburbs around Washington, D.C., those communities won't have any quickly accessed pediatric beds.
Correct.
Wow. Okay. What are some of the main issues that are, you know, all this is happening when, you know, the nurses, other caregivers are still trying to negotiate a contract. and they've been negotiating for more than a year. So what are some of the issues that are still on the table and that concern employees?
The issues on the table are wage increases. I think I need to remind our members as well as let the public know that 3 years ago or 4 years ago now, when the last contract was being closed, the members decided to forego getting raises for the next 3 years to keep the hospital open. In addition, many members went down to Annapolis and knocked on doors and talked with our politicians to encourage them to provide funding for the hospital. And in turn, the hospital has stayed open for the last 3 years. So now we're asking for a raise. And as you opened with, their management is only offering 1.25%.
Mm-hmm.
And we are still asking for more. It's like we need to get caught up with inflation and what's going on around us. Mm-hmm. So we're looking for that. In addition, they want to be able to cancel nurses at any time, meaning that a nurse or service and maintenance employee, either one could come all the way to work and then be told, there's no work here for you today, go home. And when you can't figure out what your salary will be on a day-to-day, month-to-month basis, that could be quite stressful for an employee and their family.
Right. And wow, yeah.
So those are the big issues. The last is our successorship language, meaning that if the hospital is purchased, and we're anticipating that could very well happen in the very near future, if the hospital is purchased, we want to be ensure that the union will go with the new buyer. It looks like we're making progress in that direction, but we really want to get that. We need to keep the union there so we can make sure the rights of our employees are upheld.
And protected, right. Okay. So what's next? Is there an upcoming meeting planned for negotiations? Or?
Yes, we're requesting meetings of the employer just to get clarification on what's going on with this approximately 100 people being laid off, and we are also anticipating new dates to continue our bargaining, which should happen in the next 3 to 4 weeks.
Okay. And so tell me a little bit about the mood that you know, because you're in the hospitals, you're talking to workers, you're talking to, you know, people whose, you know, lives and livelihood are on the line. What's the mood there?
You can imagine they are worried. I've talked to workers who are the single breadwinner for a family with four children. I've talked to workers who are preparing to retire and just need to get a couple more years in. The anxiety is alive and well. The fear of what will happen next, the fear of, will these cuts, and I'm still employed, give me more work to do that I cannot manage. The fear that patients will discontinue coming to our hospital. We don't want that to happen. We all want the same things. We want to provide care for our community, and we want to do it in a safe environment for the patients as well as for the worker.
All right. Okay. Well, I've been speaking with Regina Barnes, a labor organizer and colleague at 1199 SEIU United Healthcare Workers East, on the ground at Dimensions Healthcare System in Prince George's County. Thank you, Regina.
Thank you, Esther.
All right. When we come back, a Senate hearing this week addresses that nagging problem of money in politics. But was it enough? We'll be right back and taking your calls at the bottom of the hour on the subject of money in politics and corporate personhood. We'll be right back.
I don't want nobody to give me nothing. Open up the door. I'll get it myself. I don't want nobody to give me nothing. Open up the door, I'll get it myself. Do you hear me? I don't want nobody to give me nothing.
And welcome back to the Thursday edition of Community Watch and Comment, the on-the-ground edition. This week, the Senate Judiciary Committee holds a hearing for examining a constitutional amendment to restore democracy to the American people. Senate Joint Resolution 19 is a constitutional amendment proposal being put forward by Democratic leadership that would overturn the money in politics part of the Citizens United ruling, but it doesn't address corporate constitutional rights. In January 21st, 2010, with its ruling in Citizens United versus Federal Election Commission, the Supreme Court ruled that corporations are persons entitled by the U.S. Constitution to basically buy elections and run our government. Tens of thousands of volunteers across the nation have been building a grassroots movement over the past 4 years from the bottom up. Nearly 600 cities and towns have now passed amendment resolutions. Polling shows that 80% of the American public believes that corporations should not have the same rights as people. State legislators have been pressured to stand up as well, with 16 states passing resolutions calling for an amendment. Ending corporate personhood was a major theme in the demands that came from the Occupy encampments across the country. With me to talk about this week's hearing is David Cobb, National Projects Director of Democracy Unlimited, part of the Move to Amend Coalition. He is a lawyer and political activist. David has sued corporate polluters, lobbied elected officials, has been arrested for nonviolent civil disobedience, and run for elected office. In 2002, David ran for Attorney General of Texas, pledging to use the office to revoke the charters and of corporations that repeatedly violate health, safety, and environmental laws. Welcome to On the Ground, David.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be back.
Okay. Now, let's start with the Senate Joint Resolution 19. There was a hearing this week. What does it do, and why is the Move to Amend Coalition opposed to it? Isn't this a good thing, or no?
Well, listen, it's a good thing in the sense that the halls of power are finally beginning to react to what your listeners already know and knew well before Citizens United, and that is that these huge transnational corporations are not just exercising power, they're ruling over us. There is a small ruling elite, a plutocracy, a predatory class that has hijacked every single institution, our media institutions, our educational institutions, our healthcare institutions. This is what's happening, and they are stealing our sacred right to self-government. And what really just angers me to no end is that they use the legal system to legalize the theft through the use of this idea that corporations have constitutional rights. So Senate Joint Resolution 19, the constitutional amendment being forced by the Democratic Party leadership, is really just a federal election year issue, Democrats desperately wanting to find a way to woo an American public that is increasingly disgusted with everyone in Washington, D.C. for what they're doing. Yes, it would give Congress the ability, which they already had, to regulate campaign finance. In campaign spending, but it does nothing to deal with corporate constitutional rights. And remember this, if a corporation can claim constitutional rights, it means corporate lawyers can go into court and overturn any law that gets passed at the local, county, state, or federal level. Environmental protection laws, worker safety laws, public health laws, and campaign finance laws. All I'm getting at is this. This is a step in the right direction. It's clearly not far enough. It's clearly not enough. And it reminds me very much of what the Democratic Party leadership did to the single-payer movement at the beginning of the debate around health care reform, where they took single-payer off the table. They refused to even allow it to be heard during testimony. And we know what the result was. We're not going to let them do that again.
You know, that's so interesting. I was just talking to someone this morning who gave me examples of kind of grassroots movements kind of pushing an issue and moving it into the public sphere and really galvanizing people around it. And then somehow the whole issue and the whole movement gets kind of whether hijacked or sidetracked into a certain policy or law, which doesn't even really address all the concerns that people had in the beginning. And I guess that's what you're talking about.
That is exactly what I'm talking about. And again, the single-payer movement was one, but the immigrant rights movement is another. The racial justice movement is another. The environmental protection movement is another. The anti-war movement is another. All I'm getting at is that this has happened so many times, it's time for us as ordinary people to recognize that our salvation is not going to be when we let the senators tell us what we're allowed to do. We've got to remember what the abolitionists did, the women's suffrage movement did, the trade union movement, the civil rights movement did. It's got to be broad and deep and conscious and educated and make demands.
Yeah, but you know, I guess people get frustrated because regardless of the grassroots uprising, regardless of the organizing, it always seems to be funneled back into policy. You know, it always seems to go back to a hearing or a city council meeting or a Senate hearing or something, because but ultimately what you're saying is that we have to push for the best policy and the best, you know, law or overturning of laws.
That's right. And you know, to me, look, the tactics of city council hearings, letters to the editor, really this very conversation that we're having on this community radio station, these are all merely tactics, and we should employ all the tactics. Mm-hmm. But when we make our demands, we have to actually demand what we really want. Think of it this way. The abolitionists were not calling for a slavery protection act, saying that, well, you know, we're going to just say that the depraved institution will continue, but you have to actually treat your enslaved human beings better, right? There was actually a demand to abolish the entire legal doctrine that was illegitimate, immoral, and yet it had been codified in the Constitution. That demand is the kind of demand that we're making it move to amend. It really is just common sense, but it is one that has been diluted by the Democratic Party leadership. And it doesn't make me happy to say it, but we have to acknowledge something, and that is principled liberals and progressives have been lied to and sold out by the ruling elite of the Democratic Party, just as surely as principled conservatives have been lied to and sold out by the ruling elite of the Republican Party. Both political parties are not actually addressing the needs of ordinary Americans.
You know, what you said reminded me of two things. There were some recent reports about the astronomical, you know, sums spent by people like Sheldon Adelson and the Koch brothers in the last election. Do you have those figures at your fingertips? I mean, it was just really crazy. And I just said, you know, one of the reports just basically said maybe the Koch brothers had given, you know, more money that you know, added, you know, equal the total of, like, you know, like the rest of the electorate or something.
Yes. Actually, it's 18 billionaires gave more money than everyone else combined.
Right.
18 people. Think about that for a moment.
Right.
And we also know that campaign finance has actually become the civil rights movement because it is overwhelmingly white, it is overwhelmingly wealthy, and they're giving money to both Democrats and Republicans, which is a function of why we're seeing the policies that we see. Look, let's acknowledge something. This country is multiracial. People of color are gaining every day in population. This country is not going to be a white majority soon, and yet our ruling elite and the ruling establishment are almost all white folks, and they're almost all wealthy, which is not what most of the country is. We are witnessing a consolidation of power by both political parties who basically agree with fundamental policies that are racist, sexist, class oppressive, and that destroy the planet. And there is a growing movement in this country that is multiracial, multiethnic, that says we can no longer accept the system. We have to actually transform the social, political, economic systems because we need peace and justice and democracy and ecological sustainability. We need all of those things together. We cannot accept the kind of parsing and piecemeal. And you know what? When people tell me to be reasonable, I laugh and I say, I think I'm being very reasonable. I think I'm being very pragmatic. I am not doing my work out of idealism. I do this kind of work at Move to Amend because we are cold, calculated pragmatists who understand that to create the world that we want, we have to make the demand. I love what Frederick Douglass, the great political philosopher, said. Power concedes nothing without a demand. It never did, and it never will. He went on to say this: you show me the amount of injustice that a people are willing to tolerate, and I will show you the exact amount of injustice that is visited upon them. And I think that's what's happening today.
All right. I am talking to David Cobb, National Project Director of Democracy Unlimited, part of the Move to Amend Coalition. And we're talking about money and politics and corporate personhood, these two, you know, issues that are addressed in this massive ruling by the, and I should say, you know, crazy ruling by the Supreme Court. And in 2010, and we are inviting here on Community Watch and Comment, the On the Ground edition, your comments on this issue. We're going to open up the lines in a few minutes, and you can call and express your thoughts on this issue at 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. Your comment on money and politics and a political landscape that has allowed corporations to be designated as people. What do you think are the most dangerous trends in money in politics? Is this another piece of proof that the Supreme Court cannot be allowed to function as it has in the past? It can't be relied upon for sound judgment. Again, the number to call in is 202-588-0893. I'm going to continue to talk to David Cobb. And you can call in, and we're going to take a brief break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Thursday edition of Community Watch and Comment, the On the Ground edition, where we lift up voices of social justice and activism. For the past half hour, we've been hearing the voices of labor organizers, of folks fighting money in politics and corporate personhood. So it's now it's your turn. You can call 202-588-0893 to comment. And staying with me on the line is David Cobb from the Move to Amend Coalition. So thanks for hanging out with me, David. But we're going to go to our first caller. Our lines have lit up. Caller, tell me your first name and where you're calling from.
My name is Peter. I'm calling from Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a basic precept of American society that when you have a right, the flip side of that coin is a responsibility. So, but there don't appear to be too many corporate execs out there rushing to be saddled with the responsibilities that that ordinary citizens do. For example, the right to be sued when there's malfeasance. So how come they only get one side of the coin and we have to, as individuals, have rights with responsibility?
Right. You know, that's he raises such an interesting point, because I've been following these cases where people have tried to sue U.S. corporations in other countries, you know, for pollution and destruction of their environment in the Amazon or in Nigeria. And our courts have basically said, oh, no, you can't sue them. But here, as corporations, they have a right to personhood, so-called personhood, and so-called, right to, free speech as money or money as speech. So that's very interesting. I think we have another caller on the line. 202-588-0893 is the number to call to talk on money in politics and the idea that corporations have been designated as, people, that they have personhood, according to the Supreme Court. Good morning, caller. Say your name and where you're calling from.
My name is Taylor, and I'm calling from Bethesda.
Mm-hmm.
I would believe that there's a lack of courage in this population. It's like a lamprey eel that fixes upon a shark's body. The Nazis call themselves neocons because manure doesn't like to have its true name spoken. I have attached himself to the conservatives, which seem amenable to this type of connection. If you're not going to name your enemy and you're not going to put a face to him, you really can't fight him. And the Constitution, the Supreme Court has been given the task of upholding the Constitution. But if you're politically against and your aim is to destroy it, the ideologues on the Supreme Court are trying to dismantle the Constitution. They should be impeached. But any type of action of a populace dictates a certain amount of courage and in-your-face activism that will neutralize this Nazi movement in this country and take the spunk out of it. Well, look, you have a wonderful day, and thank you for listening to me.
Well, thank you, and thank you for calling. 202-588-0893 is the number to call to talk about money in politics and corporations being designated as people. There was a hearing this week, and there's a huge grassroots coalition that has pushed this issue and got the hearing, but they're not all that happy with the proposal that's being put forward this week. They say that it will only address half the issue and maybe only half of that, and that's not really dealing with the issue of the Supreme Court designating corporations as people. So what do you have to say? What do you have to say? This is a huge issue. It really goes to the heart of money in politics. Who is going to be able to control our elections, whether it's going to be all the people or just 18 billionaires. So 202-588-0893 is the number to call. And thank you. I know you're still holding the line, David. We'll maybe be able to swing back and talk some more. But let's take all these callers who are flooding the lines. Caller, tell me your first name and where you're calling from.
This is Bosco. I'm calling from D.C.
Okay.
All right. this is been an ongoing progressive dis-ease of our American society and business. I often say that there's no democracy or fairness in business in America, because it appears to me these same corporations, their roots are the same roots that were the ones that this country were fighting against when they were being taxed unfairly from British colonies. But, I mean, as a British colony, and it appears to me history is trying to repeat itself, or they've succeeded in doping the general public down to being happy with the bubble that they keep us in, so that, because the real problem for us as Americans is to, when do we stand up and say, stop putting the money into politics? We know it's wrong. Everybody knows it's wrong. We rationalize all these and pontificate all these different things to make it okay when it's not. It's very simple. One man, one vote. Keep it simple. I mean, it's real easy, but we keep talking this technology, keep fooling ourselves, thinking we're making the same thing better, and we're not. For me, I've gotten to the point where I think that most people don't want to change because they've gotten comfortable. And these are the tenets of an imperialist capitalist society, to keep the public in this experiment in America at a disadvantage by keeping us fooled and distracted. So
okay.
We need to say stop. We need to just stand up and in some cases do nothing. Don't spend any money for 2 days on a particular item and see what that does. Will they listen to you then because they love money?
Okay, thank you. So, David, some of the callers, they made comments that really made me, that kind of went back to what we were discussing earlier. How do we just say stop, how do we effectively get the attention, kind of grind the wheels of conformity and business as usual to a stop? How do we do that?
Well, I mean, I think all of the callers and the fact that we're being flooded by calls on this topic shows that your listeners know what the truth that corporations have taken over this country. And frankly, just getting money out of elections is not enough. It's not going to actually address the real problem. To answer your specific question, I want to remind myself, you, and all the listeners that there is not one right thing to do. There are multiple things that we need to do and can do. And remember that it's not just about doing this one thing. It's doing it in connection with other people. We have to organize ourselves and act collectively. One of the things that past social movements did so much better than we're doing today is if they were actually connected to one another in local communities where they live, work, and play. Here we are in an era of technology and social media and digital communication, and yet we're not doing the kind of grassroots organizing, or at least most of us aren't. I want to lift up the fact that there are some amazing organizations, especially in D.C., and Power D.C. is one that comes immediately to mind. Local community-based organizing is where we're going to win this struggle, and there are a number of things that we can do. We can support efforts for tenants' rights. We can support efforts for community-supported gardening and getting off of the corporate-controlled food production and distribution models. We can create cooperative housing situations. All I'm getting at is that when you ask me what can we do, well, there's a myriad of things that we can do, and all of those small things in addition, not either or, but both and, as we do those smaller things, we also have to be making a demand to abolish the illegitimate court-created idea that corporations are persons with constitutional rights, because the foundation of it, but we have to do the smaller things too.
Okay, great. We have other callers waiting, and so caller, tell me your first name and where you're calling from.
Hi, my name is Jabari, and I'm calling from D.C.
Oh, hi, Jabari.
How you doing?
Right.
First, I want to give the famous quote. I think it was from Barney Frank, but if not, someone could correct me. And the quote is, I will believe corporations are people when Texas executes one.
I heard that.
So, but to get to the political point and to really buttress what other people have been saying, at some point, people have to take individual responsibilities on a day-to-day level for their actions. If you have your money in Bank of America or Wells Fargo, you're part of the problem. If you keep drinking at Starbucks and doing other things to support the corporate entity that you then go out on the weekend and complain about, you're part of the problem. I'm a member of the D.C. State or Green Party. I haven't voted Democrat in a presidential election since I turned 21, and that was Jimmy Carter in 76. I saw the game after that. So people have to really break down their own behaviors and stop merely complaining. We need to have real meetings about holding people responsible and highlighting on the individual levels all the different ways we as people are complicit in our own oppression. And until that is broken down so that we can then determine alternatives to our behavior that will give us what we need without oppressing us at the same time, we would just be running this little hamster, you know, mobile, and while we complain but continue to do the things that oppress us.
Okay. Thank you for your call. 202-588-0893 is the number to call us at Community Watch and Comment, the On the Ground edition. I'm Esther Avaram, your host, and we're talking about money in politics and corporate personhood as if that really exists, right? So you can give us a call, and we have David Cobb from Move to Amend, staying with us for the remainder of the show. Also, speaking of that, it just reminds me that I wanted to tell people that they can sign the petition at movetoamend.org. There's a petition there that basically has a very simple statement there about money is not free speech, and, you know, corporations are not people, and that we need to amend our constitution to say that clearly so we can kind of get rid of, you know, stop having to, you know, deal with this nonsense. So 202-588-0893 is the number to call. I'll go to our next caller. Good morning. Tell me your name and where you're calling from.
Are you talking to me? It's Mimi from Baltimore.
Yes, I'm talking to you.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
This has been going on with people with power, the pharaohs, the kings, the potentates, the people who needed the strength to make their lives worthwhile has been going on for thousands of years, maybe about 10,000 years, and the scenario has not changed. We're in a technological age, and it's gotten way more different looking, but it's the same thing. And whenever the people in power want the control, and when there was a French Revolution, and the people said, we want bread, and it said that Marie Antoinette says, let them eat cake. There was a revolution, and it was squelched, and it also, the revolution was won, but nothing changed, because the people who want power stay that way, and now we call them corporations.
Wow.
It doesn't mean that we, you know, lay down and just go to Starbucks. Everybody's been saying very important things. It doesn't mean that at all. I was around in the 60s and worked with some very effective people, and when it was ready to be done, they signed that, you know, whatever Johnson did, and then they brought the drugs into the neighborhoods, and then they bought everybody off that they could, and then they started giving people cancer. I mean, they're very powerful, which does not mean that right doesn't win. It just means that the old way of doing things for thousands of years, going against the system that only can survive, this, they think this is the only way they can survive, by making other people do their bidding, their dirty work.
Okay.
$1 an hour. So we need another form of a solution, and that is a loving, spiritual being together with one another and moving forward, but not just against them, because that part is pretty useless.
Okay. You know, actually, Mimi mentioned the French Revolution, and sometimes when I'm preparing for the show, I look up like things that happened on that date in history. So on June 5th, 1832, the poor people of Paris revolted against the new monarchy. The Society of the Friends of the People raised the red flag, declaring liberty or death, and this uprising was the inspiration for Victor Hugo's Les Misérables. And in 1998, on this date, a strike began at the General Motors parts factory in Flint, Michigan, and it quickly spread to 5 other assembly plants, and the strike lasted for 7 weeks. So those are some of the, you know, as we talk about, you know, action and taking action and, you know, just being on the ground, you know, those are some of the things that's happened in history. 202-588-0893 is the number to call to talk about money and politics, corporate personhood, really the kind of control over our democracy. You know, is it, you know, controlled by the people or those 18 billionaires giving all that money? 202-588-0893. I'll go to our next caller. Just tell me your name and where you're calling from.
Crisis. How you doing, Esther?
I'm fine. How are you?
Pretty well, pretty well. Sometimes there's advantages in to the loser. In this case, the people that don't have money. The advantage is that if we don't have any money, then we don't have any money to recognize. The power of, so, and we can, in place of that, start recognizing one another. Just, and not be so afraid of the condition.
Right.
And that's one thing I've learned in
having nothing to lose, right?
Right, having nothing to lose. Except we have everything to gain by trusting one another. And I think that's how we were meant to live.
Okay.
And we stop thinking about ourselves, because we got to over-fetishize individualism here in America that makes room for capitalism's profits.
Right.
And also forces us to not recognize ourselves.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you, Crisis. I know you're calling from D.C. You didn't say where you're calling from, but I know you're calling from D.C. Do we have another caller? Okay. Caller, just say your first name and where you're calling from.
That's from me?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm calling from Washington, D.C. My name is Ndali.
Mm-hmm.
I have a comment and a question. My comment is about the corporation taking over the little people and unfairly getting a marketplace. Here in Washington, D.C., on your own backyard, corporation is over the poor people, the hardworking family raising poor people business, the WFAFW or any media never say anything about it, which is, I'm talking about the cab drivers in Washington, D.C. Uber is coming from the middle of nowhere without no regulation, without no expense, taking over the poor cab drivers' business and make them out of business. And the D.C. government, which is the so-called progressive and elected by the people, city council, allow them to do that. And then not only that, trying to abolish the taxi cab commission, which is serving the people and the cab drivers in between, when this thing allows WFAFW never say anything. What we are talking about the corporation taking over, the corporation power, why don't you say something about this? And nobody invited any cab driver about their problem, any media. Say, for example, the public radio, the so-called the Kojo Nandi show, invited the Hoover representative on the radio. He never invited any representative to express their feeling.
Okay.
And WPFW did never anything about this. What do you have a plan about that, man?
Okay. Well, thank you for your call. I actually have heard discussions about the cab situation and Uber on WPFW shows in recent weeks. I actually have heard people talking about that. But, you know, I do think that it's a discussion that people are having. I think that I know that the people in our news departments are listening, and perhaps they will provide additional coverage of the issue. But I do know that I have heard discussion and shows addressing not only the cab drivers, you know, issues separate from Uber, but also Uber as well. 202-588-0893 is the number to call. We are talking about money and politics and corporate personhood. You know, we have a time to take a few more callers. So if you want to weigh in, you know, give us a call. I'll go to my next caller now. Just tell me your first name and where you're calling from. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Matt, and I'm calling from Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I've always wanted to see what some of the perspective is. I'm kind of in the middle on these things. I don't agree with that corporations are, you know, enjoying all the same benefits to the Constitution that an individual would, but I think that a lot of people on the other side, I think the point that they are starting to agree with is that, and you'll see it in some of the comments this week on Capitol Hill when it comes to some of these constitutional rights that are granted to corporations, is that you can't have like some corporations that say that they're the media and say that they're able to cloak themselves in journalism and enjoy all the rights of the First and Second Amendment, and the First Amendment, and then say that a group of people that aren't, you know, quote unquote journalists and media types and movie producers, those people don't enjoy the same rights. And I think that that's where I think the conversation kind of diverts off past. If you really look at it, I mean, it should be guaranteed across the board. If you have a right as a media outlet or a right as a, you know, journalism outlet, a newspaper or anything to do these things, and you're able to spend millions and millions and billions of dollars to influence a campaign or influence anything you want under the guise of free speech, you shouldn't then regulate a group of people that don't consider themselves media journalists and things like that. You see, I guess that's where I think the dichotomy is, where people don't kind of meet in the middle and understand the argument.
Okay. Okay, 202-588-0893. I think maybe we can take one caller or no? We'll probably have to wrap it up, but I thank everyone for calling today to discuss money in politics and corporate personhood. I want to thank my guest, Regina Barnes from 1199 SEIU, United Healthcare Workers East, and also David Cobb from the Move to Amend Coalition. That will do it for me today. Special thanks to Mike Nasella on the board this morning, and thank you so much for listening, calling in, and supporting during our fund drive. You can reach the show at onthegroundshow.org. You can follow us at Facebook and Twitter at On The Ground Show. Peace. Stay tuned for Chris Duproperty. Welcome back. on Don't Forget the Blues, followed by the D.C. Politics Hour with Eugene DeWitt Kinlow, and then the Empower Hour with Deshuna Spencer. Get active, do something, say something. See you on the boat ride on Friday. Peace.